Chapter 11. Nanda and Yashoda's love for Krishna. Next, in Sanatan Goswami's heart, feelings of Vatsalya Bhav begin to come, and he begins quoting verses describing that sentiment. Nandaha kim akarod brahmana, shreya eva mahodayam, Yashoda va mahabhagya, papo yasya stanim hri. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.46 and Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.7.126. Sri Parikshit Maharaj asked, "My dear Brahmana, which supremely auspicious sadhan did Nanda perform, and which austerities did the supremely fortunate Yashoda undergo to have her breast milk drunk by Sri Hari?" Once, after Krishna had eaten some soil, Mother Yashoda forced him to open his mouth, and when she did, she saw the entire creation therein. Seeing so many universes with so many Sankars and Vishnus, she thought, "What is this?" When Krishna revealed his Vishwarupa, universal form, to Arjuna, Arjuna thought, "This is Bhagavan," and with folded hands began offering prayers. But Yashoda didn't do this. Trembling, she thought, "Has a ghost possessed me? Has someone cast a spell on my child? Is this the Maya of the demigods or what? What has happened to my child?" Rubbing her eyes in astonishment, she looked again, and then it had all disappeared. She thought, "Whose Maya was this? How did it happen?" She didn't consider that this is Bhagavan. She continued to see him only as a small child. Being very frightened, she took Krishna to the family priest and told him, "I saw something very astonishing within my child's mouth. Someone must have cast a spell upon him. Please rid him of this curse." The family priest said, "Don't be afraid. We will immediately make him all right. You bring some gold, some cloth, and some cow dung, and bring some cows to give in charity to the brahmanas." After she had brought all these things, the priest chanted the appropriate mantras, and Mother Yashoda's mind was set at ease. In this verse, Parikshit Maharaj says, "Considering Krishna to be his son, Nanda Baba loves him so much. He takes Krishna on his shoulders, saying, 'My dear son, my dear son.' And for this reason, he is Mahadaya. But greater than him is Mother Yashoda, who is Mahabhaga, the most fortunate. Although Hari steals away the hearts of everyone in the entire universe and is the nurturer of all, she takes him on her lap and feeds him breast milk. What auspicious activities did they perform in their previous lives to receive such benedictions?" Now Sanatan Goswami will begin describing the good fortune of Yashoda and Nanda Baba so that their mood of service will begin to arise within us. By hearing the descriptions of these pastimes, all the contaminations within one's heart will be eradicated, and feelings of spontaneous love for Krishna will be permanently established there. If we hear these types of descriptions during the day and then meditate on them during the night, then that is called smarana, and from that eventually samadhi will come. So is there any greater sadhana than this? When he was hearing the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj only continued listening and hardly spoke at all. Therefore, this sadhana is also sadhya, the final result. By hearing Harikatha, one's heart will be completely purified, whereas by practicing any other limb of Vaidhi Bhakti, it won't happen as quickly. The Vishwarup is an aspect of Bhagavan's Aishwarya, but upon seeing it, not even a trace of Aishwarya Bhav arose in Yashoda. Instead, her praying for Krishna only increased, and continuing to see him merely as a small child, she bathed him in cow dung and cow urine for auspiciousness. Bhagavan is the personification of auspiciousness, yet to bring auspiciousness to him, she sang some mantras and gave charity to the brahmanas. Sanatan Goswami says here in his commentary that if one hears these descriptions of Yashoda endeavoring to bring auspiciousness to Krishna, then very soon that same auspiciousness will come to that person. And if a sadhak hears these descriptions with love and deeply meditates on them, then his tendencies towards Aishwarya Bhav will be blocked and he will be able to feel pure Vatsalya Bhav. Therefore, any trace of Aishwarya Bhav was covered by Yogamaya, and Yashoda was able to taste Madhurya Bhav. Where a devotee never considers Krishna to be Bhagavan himself, but merely their dear friend, son or lover. Being wonderstruck, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, "Aho, Yashoda possesses even more good fortune than Nanda. Nanda is certainly fortunate, that is true, but Yashoda is even more so because she was actually able to bind Krishna, whereas Nanda could only later untie him." In this verse, Parikshit Maharaj addresses Shukadeva Goswami as Brahmana, and Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary that Shukadeva Goswami is the direct embodiment of Parabrahma. Generally, a devotee is not referred to in this way, but he has done it because here Brahmana means he who is speaking such a high level of Harikatha that it increases the prema in others. The jiva is part and parcel of Parabrahma. But when he takes shelter of Parabrahma, then he experiences prema as a part of the whole. Because Shukadeva Goswami increases that prema, he has been referred to here as the direct murti of Parabrahma. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, what auspicious activities did Nanda and Yashoda perform to receive Krishna as their son? What activities did Prahlad Maharaj perform to receive such bhakti for Bhagavan? By unknowingly fasting and staying awake all night on the Sringa Chaturdasi, in his next life, while remaining in his mother's womb, he heard Bhagavat Tattva from Narad for 60,000 years. And after taking birth, he became the great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. By keeping company with Guru and Vaishnavas, one becomes like that. For us also, if we observe Janmashtami, Gaura Purnima or Narsingha Chaturdasi by fasting and hearing Harikatha all day and serving Guru and the Vaishnavas with great enthusiasm and love, even if it is not for 60,000 years or even 60 years, but only for 60 months or even 60 days, then that is sadhana. In the lives of all great devotees, such as Rupa and Sanatana, this enthusiastic spirit can be seen. But being wonderstruck and feeling that it is impossible to perform such activities in this world which would bestow upon me the benediction of having Krishna as their son, Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question. He was completely astonished at the elevated Vatsalya prema that Yashoda and Nanda possessed for Krishna. Bhagavan has had many parents, but neither Vasudeva and Devaki, nor Dasarath and Kaushalya, nor Kasyapa or Aditi possessed such beautiful sentiments towards him as did Yashoda and Nanda. Vasudeva and Devaki were unable to taste the rasa of Krishna's lila. Immediately after Krishna's birth, Vasudeva took him to Gokul, and there his lila began. On the first morning, Yashoda was awakened by the sound of Krishna crying, and then an immensely blissful festival was held. The news of Krishna's birth spread in all directions, and people came from all over to see him. The residents of Gokul tasted the rasa of Krishna's bala lila, but Vasudeva and Devaki were unable to taste even a little of it. In their previous lives, Nanda was the Vasu demigod Drona, and Yashoda was his wife Dara. And for the purpose of obtaining a very beautiful son, they performed severe austerities. After some time, Brahma appeared before them and said, "You may ask any boon from me." They said, "Just as parents love a son, we want to have love like that towards Bhagavan." Brahma said, "So it shall be." Sanatana Goswami also says that Vasudeva and Devaki in their previous lives were Kasyapa and Aditi, and they performed austerities until Bhagavan himself appeared before them and said, "What do you desire?" They replied, "We desire a son like you." Bhagavan said, "There is no one like me, so I myself will become your son." Bhagavan gave that boon himself, and before this, Brahma had given that boon. But if Brahma did not have Vatsalya Prem himself, then how could he possibly give it? The answer is that Bhagavan protects the words of his devotees. But also, because Brahma knows past, present and future, he knew that Bhagavan would soon be taking birth in Gokul and performing childhood pastimes. So he gave this boon to Drona and Dara, and Bhagavan fulfilled his words and later came as their son. Were Drona and Dara ordinary jivas? No, they were plenary portions of Nanda and Yashoda, who, for the purpose of showing the people of this world what type of sadhan is necessary to completely overpower Bhagavan, performed severe austerities to receive the boon of having Bhagavan as their son. Both Bhagavan and his devotees can give boons, but the devotee's boon will certainly be more powerful and more filled with rasa. Therefore, Bhagavan fulfilled the boon given to Drona and Dara, and in the next lives, they appeared in their original forms as Nanda and Yashoda and received Krishna as their son. In comparison to the boons given by Bhagavan himself, the boon given by the devotee will be superior and bestow a higher taste. If Ramachandra has taken a vow and Hanuman has also taken a vow, then if their vows conflict, whose vow will be triumphant? Once, seeing the offenses of some man, Ramachandra told him, "Tomorrow morning I shall come and certainly kill you." So who could possibly save him? There was no one who could save him. Later that day, as Narad was walking along, he came across this man, and seeing his face said, "My friend, what is wrong? Why does your face appear withered in despair?" The man replied to Narad, "Ramachandra has vowed that tomorrow he will certainly kill me." Grasping Narad's feet, he cried, "Prabhu, please protect me." Narad said, "Me? I am not able to save you. But you can do one thing. Go and grasp the feet of Hanuman and don't let go. Don't tell him the reason you have grasped his feet, but just beg him to make a vow to always protect you. Then afterwards you may reveal to him the specific nature of your dilemma." So this man approached Hanuman and, falling on the ground, grasped his feet and cried out, "O Prabhu, please protect me, please protect me." Hanuman said, "Hey, what do you want? Let go of my feet." "No, Prabhu, I will never let go. Only when you vow to always protect me will I let go." "All right, all right. I will always protect you. So what is it?" "Ramachandra has vowed that before the sun arises tomorrow morning, he will certainly kill me." Hanuman replied, "Oh, I see. So who has told you to do this? You must have met some very intelligent man, or do you have a guru?" "It was Narad," replied the man. "This is Narad's nature, sometimes creating a quarrel between Bhagavan and his servants." So when the morning came, Hanuman told the man, "Just stand behind me and everything will be all right." Seeing that Ram was coming, Hanuman picked up his club and assumed a fighting posture. Fixing an arrow to his bow, Ram said, "Now I will kill this offender." Hanuman replied, "Prabhu, if you desire to kill him, it will only be over my dead body. I have vowed to always protect him." Then Ram retracted his vow and honored the vow of Hanuman. Amongst all of his qualities, Bhagavan's special affection for his devotees is the supreme quality. Therefore, he fulfilled the boon which Brahma had given to Drona and Dara. We are more interested in taking shelter of Bhagavan's Paramapremi devotees. It is a special characteristic of those of us in the Gaudiya Sampradaya that we don't actually take shelter of Krishna, even though he is the one who possesses all Shakti. He is the unlimited ocean of rasa, who is supremely merciful, who is especially affectionate to his devotees, who is beginningless, and who is the cause of all causes. Who is it that we take shelter of? Srimati Radhika. And if we don't directly take shelter of her, then we take shelter of Lalita or Vishakha and aspire to become the dasi of the dasi of the dasi of Radhika. We should always consider ourselves to be the devotee of the devotee of the devotee. And then Krishna will be more pleased with us. He has said once, "One who says that he is my devotee is not really my devotee, but he who says that he is the devotee of my devotee is more dear to me." Next comes this verse. Tato bhaktir bhagavati putri bhute janardane dampatyo nitaramasid gopa gopishu bharata. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.51 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.127. Shukadeva Goswami replied, "O Bharat, for fulfilling the promise of his dear devotee Brahma, the destroyer of evil, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, appeared as the son of Nanda and Yashoda. In comparison to all the other gopas and gopis, this couple possessed the most love for him." In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami addresses Parikshit Maharaj as Bharat. The ordinary meaning is that Parikshit Maharaj was the leader of his dynasty after the great war at Kurukshetra. But the word Bharat can also be interpreted like this. Ba can mean Bhavati, and Rata can mean Rati. So since the actual meaning is he who has a special Rati or Prem for the feet of Bhagavan, just see the respect Shukadeva Goswami is giving him. This verse says that in Braj there were a great many couples of gopas and gopis who had offspring, but all of these couples had vatsalya prem for Krishna. Desiring to taste their parental love, Krishna expanded into the cowherd boys and became their son for 1 year, during which time he tasted that vatsalya rasa, and so also did all the parents as they nurtured him. But amongst all of these couples, Yashoda and Nanda still had stronger feelings of vatsalya for him than anyone else. The other couples loved Krishna even more than their own sons, and only when he expanded into their sons during the Brahma Vimohan Leela did they show equal affection to their own sons. He also expanded into the calves, so that the cows would taste vatsalya ras. And of course, he was also the son of Devaki and Vasudev. But as described in the previous verse, no one experienced the ecstasy which Yashoda did as Krishna drank from her breasts. Devaki could have only experienced this for a few seconds, because immediately after Krishna took birth, he was taken to Gokul. At that time, milk came to her breasts, and Krishna was a small baby of a suitable age to drink her milk, but he was taken away. When Krishna first appeared to them in the jail, with folded hands they offered prayers. But later, when Krishna returned to Mathura and freed them, Krishna covered their Aishwarya bhav by his yoga maya. He sat on Devaki's lap and cried, "Mother, mother." But at that time she could not feed him breast milk. 11 years had elapsed, and the opportunity to breastfeed Krishna had long passed. So this verse says that this dampatyo, this couple Yashoda and Nanda, were superior to all other couples of gopas and gopis in Braj. They experienced innumerable wonderful sentiments of parental love, but very few of them had actually been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The pastime where Damodar is bound by Yashoda is described, and it also describes the time when Krishna was very small. He got up from Yashoda's lap and began to crawl towards the door. But hearing some jingling sound, he turned around, wondering where that sound was coming from, and was astonished to find that it was the jingling of his own ankle bells. Then at once Yashoda caught him and placed him back in her lap. Devaki never experienced any of this, and no other gopi in Braj ever experienced so many feelings of Vatsalya. The Bhagavatam has described only a few of these pastimes, but Yashoda felt countless millions of wonderful sentiments, such as when Krishna played and when he drank her breast milk. And to understand her elevated sentiments for Krishna is very difficult. When Uddhava visited Vrindavan, he saw Nanda and Yashoda. Nanda was weeping bitterly, and Uddhava could not understand why he was crying. Even right up until the very end of his stay in Braj, he did not fully understand why Nanda was crying so bitterly. Uddhava thought, Krishna is Parabrahm. He cannot really be anyone's son. So towards him, Nanda has such feelings. Is this some kind of illusion or what? I know fully well that Krishna is Bhagavan, so how can I be attached to the idea that he is my friend? Uddhava could only feel Aishwarya Bhav towards Bhagavan, so seeing this Bhav in Nanda Baba, he couldn't understand it. This is how he felt coming before the great mountain of Nanda Baba's Madhurya Bhav. When we look at a one-story building, our head can be held level, looking straight ahead. But when we look up at a seven-story building, then we must tilt our head back slightly. But when we look up at a high mountain, we must tilt our heads back to the point where if we were wearing a hat, it would fall off. So looking up at the towering mountain of Nanda Baba's Madhurya Bhav, it was as if Uddhava's hat of Aishwarya Bhav fell off. Being so intelligent, a pandit and a disciple of Brihaspati, still Uddhava couldn't understand. Why is he crying like this? This is certainly a matter of great good fortune, that Krishna has appeared in his home. Okay, so Krishna told me that I should give his parents some consolation. But what will I say? Will I say, Nanda Baba, you are so fortunate. If there is any person in this entire universe who is fortunate, it is you. Please cry more and more. It is said that if even one tear is shed for Bhagavan, then one's life has become completely successful. Devotees pray for the day when, upon hearing descriptions of Bhagavan's pastimes, taking his name and seeing the places where he has performed his pastimes, they will shed tears and their voices will become so choked that they won't even be able to pronounce his name properly. And here I see Nanda Baba crying. And how is he crying? Very bitterly, like he will not stop. It is said that if someone sheds a tear out of love for Bhagavan, then their life will automatically become successful, and they will become the purifier of the three worlds. In one place, Uddhava has said, Vande Nanda Braje Srinam Pada Renum Abhikshanaha Yasham Hari Katod Gitam Punati Bhuvana Trayam Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.63. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaj's cowherd village. When they loudly sing the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Why does their guitar purify the three worlds? The tearful, deeply emotional songs which they sang to one another became shlokas in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the scriptures say that when one attains the darshan of such a great personality who is crying in this way, one's life becomes successful. But do we ever cry while describing Krishna's pastimes or while chanting his name? So tell me, how fortunate then is Nanda Baba to be crying, considering Krishna to be his son? So Uddhava was thinking, will I say, Nanda Maharaj, you are most fortunate, so please cry more and more, because by receiving your darshan today, my life has become successful. That will be like adding ghee to the fire. But if I say, Nanda Maharaj, please don't cry, be peaceful, then that will be opposed to what it is said in the scriptures. This was Uddhava's curious predicament, and it was as if he were trapped. If I tell him not to cry, it will be opposed to the words of the scriptures, and I will be punished. And if I tell him to cry more, I will not be consoling him as Krishna asked me to. Should I tell him to stop crying, or to cry even more? He was unable to reach a decision, so in the end he mixed them both by saying, Nanda Maharaj, you are the most fortunate person, but please don't cry. In this way, he was perplexed because Krishna had instructed him to console his parents. Sitting nearby was another fortunate soul, Yashoda. Her tears had long dried up. The poor woman could not even shed tears. Her eyes were sunken in, and she appeared like a skeleton. In one sense, she died on the day Akrura took Krishna to Mathura, and later she sent a message to Krishna. I don't even have the qualification to call you my son. Now, having gone to Mathura, you have accepted Devaki as your mother and Vasudev Maharaj as your father. For 11 years here, you were our very lives. As your Datri, the one who raised you, I held you in my lap and protected you, and did everything one could expect from a Datri. Coals lay their eggs in the nest of a crow, and then the crow sits on the eggs until they hatch. When they have hatched, then the mother coal returns and takes the chicks to her own nest and raises them there. And the crow just remains gazing in their direction. Our situation is exactly like that. Then Krishna sent this message back to Yashoda and Uddhava. Because you have used the word Datri to describe yourself, Baladeva and I should give up our lives at once. I am sustaining my life solely to see you again, otherwise I would die today. We will certainly be returning to you soon, because besides you, we don't know of any other mother. Therefore, mother, please do one thing. Father will be crying. The cows and calves will also be crying. The plants which I planted will be drying up. And the calves which we used to take out to graze will no longer be taken out and will begin dying. Please look after them a little. They will even give up eating out of separation from me. Seeing and hearing all this, Uddhava was wonderstruck. Yashoda was unable to speak. She could only softly stammer. The affection of Yashoda for Krishna, her Vatsalya Prem, was unlimited, like a fathomless ocean. Uddhava was not able to give her any consolation. Our Goswamis have not described much of this Vatsalya Bhav, because there are very few who actually qualify to hear it. Therefore, they have kept it hidden. The word Janardane comes in this verse, and two meanings have been given for it. The one which destroys whatever is opposed to devotion and establishes bhakti is called Janardana, and Ardana can also mean a prayer. Therefore, it can refer to Drona and Dara, who prayed to Brahma for receiving that Janardana as their son, whose prayers were completely fulfilled, and who tasted the highest degree of Vatsalya Bhav. Nanda and Yashoda's Bhav is higher than the Vatsalya Bhav of all the other gopas and gopis in Braj, and this is the purport of this verse. Thus ends chapter 11 of Bhakti Rasayana.